here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting's Trade Talk. With me is Greg Anderson, a farmer from Nebraska, soybean farmer. Greg, big story this year was the drought, so I wanted to ask you how your farm fared this year through the drought.
Well, it was tough. You know, it's the driest year I've ever seen, but then you talk to people who've been around longer than I have, and they've never seen anything like it either. So I guess when you don't get any rain in July at all during the month, you've set a record, because that's never happened before. And I understand even you'd have to go back into the 30s where they had like less than an inch of rain per month. But I've had 3 inches of rain just the last 4 consecutive months, so it has not turned around yet. And we are hoping and praying for rain this fall, some winter snows, but really rains next spring to recharge. I always say, people talk about recharging that subsoil moisture, but we got to have to recharge the topsoil first. It's just that dry, and it's affected a lot of people, and I know it's a concern among many going into the next year.
Well, we're still getting pretty decent production still. USDA is still calling for pretty decent production, both soybeans and even corn, despite how hard it got hit.
It's remarkable, really. I think that's a tribute to farming practices and just the technology that we have at our fingertips. Next year, I'll enjoy my family farm being in the family for 140 years. And with all the hardships and things we might have faced this last year, I think it pales in comparison to some of my ancestors who no doubt try to eke out a living, too, off the land. But you're right. I mean, we're looking, using sustainable practices such as no-till saves a great amount of moisture. I know in my own operation it certainly did. And, we need some moisture, but it's remarkable how far we can stretch it when those rains come.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because we're starting a new series on our Precision Agriculture website, and we're talking to different farmers, especially farmers who've been in the business, family farming, for a long time, and about how things have changed, and about how things today are so much different than they were 140 years ago. So tell me a little bit about that, about how just even in your lifetime, but especially compared to your father, your grandfather, how the precision technology that we have now, and also biotechnology and information technology, how that has changed and made things so much better in so many different ways.
It's the most exciting time, without a doubt, to be in production agriculture right now. And I'm convinced 5 years from now, it'll be that much better. The technology and the biotechnology that you've talked about have come to us in so many different capacities and are available at our fingertips to use. It has enhanced us. It's made us more efficient. I believe it's made us more sustainable. I think of practices just as simple as no-till and building organic matter in my soil, seeing it increase. That's a good thing, because I know when my great-great-grandfather first put a plow to the prairie, that organic matter was pretty high. And rich soil, and they could grow crops even without hybrid corn, even without the soybean. And they didn't even have soybeans until about 1954. I think my grandfather first planted those. So you see that, though, but you want to give back. You want to make it better than the generation, when you leave it to the next one. So we are starting to see that. It is just tremendous. I know with even 1% more organic matter that you raise, it's another 8 to 10% holding capacity of moisture in the soil. So you go through a drought year, and high organic matter, that's going to carry you just a little bit farther, maybe enough to make that next rain. So we've seen irrigation in Nebraska is a heavily irrigated state. We've seen better efficiencies there. Now with the technology on center pivots, watching the water flow, the monitors, being able not only to save money doing that, but to be best for the crop. And ultimately the bottom line, good for the environment. American agriculture is just the best in the world, and I'm just blessed to be a farmer. I really am.
Well, you talk about how maybe the next 5 years, the best may be yet to come. Yeah. What are you most excited about, looking forward to? You never know what's going to come around the pipeline, are you?
That's just it. You come to meetings such as this, and you hear a company's announced something new or something on the horizon, and then, if it has to go through regulations or if it just needs more testing or whatever, pretty soon it's out on the market and people are embracing it and using it. I think probably the thing I'm looking forward to most is – ways to enhance soybean yield. Seems like corn has kind of been king and enjoyed a lot of yield increases, and the technology side is there has been tremendous. But in the genetics for beans, I look for in the future high oleic beans to be the commodity bean, and that will be that'll benefit biodiesel. It will benefit the oil that goes into human consumption. It will be just the oil of choice, and it'll be in every bean. That's what I envisioned, that we don't have to segregate or grow it separately. It'll just be the companies will insert that in there. So, yeah, I mean, sky's the limit, really. You think about this and the things that our scientists are working on, researchers, I believe research in ag is very, very important, and we need to keep dollars there. And yeah, it's a great thing.
What about the information technology, the ability to be out in the field and be able to use your computers and use your smartphones and use your iPads?
That's tremendous. I just think, folks from generations ago just shake their heads. They just wouldn't believe it. But yeah, I mean, you can shut your pivot off or on with your phone. You can practically run your farm now from your phone. It's used to be phone calls were just for phone call. Our phones were just for phone calls, but no, it's great. It's something that puts America on the cutting edge, and really is the model for all places in the world to look that America still is a breadbasket, and we may not have even the acres that South America has anymore, but we'll beat them on technology. We'll beat them on infrastructure. We'll beat them on things that they just haven't embraced.
What would your great-great-grandfather think if he came back today?
Oh, my. I just couldn't. You just shake his head, because just to see mechanization and to see things outside from the horses, I don't know what really work is, because, they had to do the hard hand labor, digging a well. And I complain when the electricity goes out for an hour, so... Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
They
didn't even have electricity till 1947, when my dad was still in, barely in high school. So, yeah, it's unbelievable.
And cool. Well, great to talk to you, Greg. Always good to see you here at NAFB Trade Talk. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.